Welcome if you're new. It's great to have you here and share this time with us. It's been a good day. It's been a good day. I won't lie, this topic here is a bit of my bandwagon, so just be ready for that. You know, sometimes we have a bias towards certain topics. Does everyone have a bias towards? We all do. If you don't know that, you do already. There's certain things that come up and you get really stirred about it, really passionate about certain topic. Other things people talk about, you don't really care. It's like you're not even in the conversation. You're like, oh, blah, 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 let's get on with doing whatever we're doing. And then other things, we hear it and we're like, I'm in on this. Let's talk about this. And we all have our biases and our prejudice towards certain topics. And this, I won't lie, justice is one of those for me. And you'll know in a minute why. So I'm just going to stick the first slide up. I'm going to start reading from Isaiah 58 and we're going to read it together. That was the quickest kids' church I've ever seen. That's good. What's happening? Oh, you need some chairs. We'll let them do their thing. So watch out for the baby. I think the church today needs a massive realignment. And I'm part of that journey. And I think there are things that we think are important, which I would say are less important, and there are things that are really important that we need to make important. And this one is one of those topics that's really important because it's the thing that I think it's important. So we're going to read it together. This is a passage, and this is a realignment piece for Israel. On the journey, it's almost like a bit of a prophetic word for the church as well as I read it. And I think this is what it's about. It says, shout with the voice of the trumpet blast, shout aloud, just trying to get their attention. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins, yet they act so pious. They act so pious. They come to the temple every day or every week and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before. They say, why aren't you impressed? Just FYI, God's not impressed with our fasting. We don't do it to impress him. We do it because we love him. We have been very hard on ourselves and you don't even notice it. And I will tell you why. I'll respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through all the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in the burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please God? Next slide. No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless and give clothes to those in need. Op shop P9. This is the stuff that matters to God. And do not hide from your relatives. Did you hear that? Do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like a dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply, remove the heavy yoke of oppression, stop pointing the finger and spreading vicious rumors, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out like the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as the noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you'll be known as the rebuilder of walls and the restorer of homes. Amen. Amen. I'm the only one who's excited about this. It's a massive realignment of what's important to God. We can become pious in the church in our way. You come to church every week. We do our thing. We're trying to impress God with our quiet times and our Bible reading and our prayer and our fasting. And he is encouraging us to step outside the walls of your comfort zone and your self-centeredness and all that kind of stuff. Not that anyone in here is self-centered. I know that you're all very selfless and all this kind of thing. But I just want to encourage you. I want to put a bomb under the church today, like in a really friendly, nice way, like in a really kind way. That's a scripture you don't want to read very often. You'll just get really messed up. I just want to read, so you go to the next slide. Justice is not just about fairness, but about restoring what is broken, defending the vulnerable and creating a world that reflects God's kingdom values. That's what justice is. That's what justice is. I love this passage and I want to get to it later, but Amos 5:24 says, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream." It's this idea of this relentless, it's like this rolling on, this river that rolls forward. It's something that flows through the church. It's part of our DNA, and that's why this is one of our values. If you go to the next slide, biblical justice is not just about punishment, but it's about restoration, giving people that are due, whether protection, care, or punishment for wrongdoing. You know, we often think of justice as punishing the wicked. And that's certainly part. People will certainly mean to be accountable, but it's also about the care for the vulnerable, defending the widow, and creating a world that reflects the kingdom heart of God. Biblical justice is not just about punishing wrongdoers, but also about lifting up the powerless and the marginalized. Justice is about creating a world where love and grace and mercy reign and rule. These are the things that the atmosphere of heaven comes to earth. When we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," we're bringing justice on the earth. This idea where we love and grace and mercy reign. And the other thing is where no one is left behind and where our community and this community reflect God's kingdom. When people come into our church, they should see God. They should get to know what he's like. I mean, I hope that as a church, as they get to know us, it's like when people meet us, they should be reflecting what's important to God. And we pursue this justice by aligning ourselves with the heart, as Shaz Gunn, by presence with Jesus. How do we get the heart of Jesus? We spend time with Jesus. How do I get the heart of Michelle? I spend time with Michelle. How do I capture the heart of the kingdom of God? What do? I spend time with the King. And that's his heart. And I want to talk about a couple of things around, you know, and we see this as Jesus, but I want to focus on this idea of the year of Jubilee from Leviticus chapter 25. And if you go to the next slide, I'm not going to read the whole of Leviticus to you this morning because I know it would excite you way too much. So I'm just going to explain to you a couple of things here. Every 50 years, God demonstrated desire for social and economic and spiritual restoration. I want us to get this because this is the pivot, if you like, or the thing that I see, you know, for like a seesaw. It's the thing that it rests on when you look at the Old and New Testament when it comes to the justice of God. I love this idea. Like, this is exciting. Like the year of Jubilee. And I think it's exciting because as we go on in this passage, we learn that this is why Jesus came. to bring in Jubilee, that we would experience not every 50 years, but on an ongoing basis through relationship with him. It's a time of freedom and restoration and rest. And you like this, there are three components: debt forgiveness. All debts were cancelled, amen? Amen. Land restoration. Land was returned to original families, and freedom for slaves. Enslaved Israelites were set free. It says here in Leviticus 25, verse 10, it says, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land and all its... Proclaim freedom. Hear this language. Proclaim freedom. You'll hear this as Jesus comes. Proclaim freedom to all its inhabitants. It shall be Jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. So you go to the next slide. And this is the justice of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was not just economic reset, but a way to prevent systematic injustice and ensure that no one is permanently trapped in poverty or slavery. This is a really important thought. It's about breaking the cycle of poverty. Over time, people could fall into debt and lose their land, leading to generational poverty. Jubilee restored land to its original owners, ensuring that no family was forever displaced. In God's principle, no one should be permanently oppressed or economically enslaved. And this is the idea of Jubilee. Not only that, if you go to the next slide, it was about uniting families and freeing those who become legal servants. So it was legal, you could have a servant, it was all part of the trade, but it was actually freeing those who had become servants. It prevented generational slavery and ensured that no people that people were not exploited long-term. This promoted dignity and equality, breaking systems of oppression. It was also a time of rest and worship. The land was to rest. No planting or harvesting, showing that justice includes rest and dependence on God. This was a faith exercise, trusting that God would provide even when people stopped striving. You may ask what we will eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops. I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. This is the dependence on God and God, the reset that God wanted in the community. But we understand that Jesus is the ultimate Jubilee. When Jesus began his ministry, he declared a new kind of Jubilee, a spiritual and social restoration. And we read in Luke 4, 8 to 19, which is quoting Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see a lot of the similar language around what his heart was for Jubilee in Leviticus 25. Jesus is the fulfillment of Jubilee, offering forgiveness, freedom, and restoration for all people. He restores not only economies, but societies through their hearts and their souls. This is a beautiful picture of what we enter into. We look at things every day and we go, that's an injustice. That's an injustice that people don't have food on their table. That's an injustice that people don't have a place to live. That's an injustice that people don't have school uniforms to go back to school in. That people should not be enslaved by the community that we live in and the expectations that we're in. That's an injustice. Sure, it's an injustice when people are wrongly accused. Absolutely. Next slide. The year of Jubilee was a prophetic picture of God's kingdom, where a world where justice reigns, the oppressed are freed, and everyone has enough. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? Everyone has enough. This is how it works. See, justice brings healing and restoration. Injustice creates brokenness and pain and oppression. That's what injustice does. But biblical justice restores dignity and freedom and opportunities for the oppressed. This is the justice of God. This is a guy by the name of William Wilberforce, and you've probably heard of him, and he was all in about the abolishment of slavery. Someone looked at something and went, you know what, that's not okay. I don't know if you've ever felt that in your heart some days. You see something, you go, that's just not okay. It's not in line with the kingdom heart. It's not in line with the kingdom of God. And it's not in line with Jesus. Wilberforce was born into privilege, but after a deep personal conversion to Christianity in the mid-20s, he began to see a world through the lens of justice. He wrestled with whether to leave politics to pursue ministry, but his mentor, John Newton, who wrote, you know, The Amazing Grace, encouraged him to use his position at Parliament to fight against slavery. In 1787, Wilberforce publicly committed himself to the abolishment of the slave trade. He faced fierce opposition from economic and political interests, but he stayed steadfast. And over 20 years, he tirelessly introduced bills, made speeches, and gathered allies in order to change the world he lived in. In 1807, the Slave Trade Act was passed, making a trade to enslave people illegal in the British Empire. See, Wilberforce's fight for justice was fueled by his conviction that every human was made in the image of God. And that true faith must result in action. Can't sit around. Not my problem. Not my job. He believed that justice was not just about laws and policies, about restoring dignity and reflecting God's kingdom on earth. This is our witness. The world is watching us as people about how he's looking at the church and individuals. What does it look like to be a faithful person? What does it look like to be a Christ follower? Mate, can I be as strong to say, if you don't have a heart for the vulnerable, if you can't see the need, can I challenge you about that? Can I ask you to go to God and give you eyes to see those who are on the margins, those who don't have? The thing about the year of Jubilee is that, and this is what I love about this idea, is that God didn't say, you know, there are people in those situations because, that, you know, it's their fault. Or there are people in those situations because they made bad decisions. Or there are people in those situations because of dot, dot, dot. He said, no, this is what we're doing across the board. No excuses. This is how we roll. This is a complete reset. And I don't care how people got there. I don't care what caused their situation. You know what? We are here because we want to make a difference to get them back. See, justice and righteousness go together. Righteousness is this idea of God's right way of living. God's righteous way of, you know, you're righteous when you walk with him. When you go his right way and bringing everything into submission to him. And the world is watching. You know, we look in Matthew 25. You know, this is a challenge scripture. He gets to the end, he goes, the sheep and the goats, and he says, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. This is the pivoting scripture to say, this is what's important to me. He's not going to say, oh, Brooke, how many sermons did you preach? How many people did you visit? This is our testimony. Justice is our testimony, and it proves that our faith is real and authentic and right. And I just want to encourage you that this is us, to be a church without walls. You know, our value up there is this idea of justice, a life welcomed. I don't know if you've seen the sign ever or ever read it, but it's been out there every Sunday since we've been here. So you might read it now. But it's about being an inclusive community through practical love and grace and encouragement. And this is who we are. That we serve our community through extravagant love, providing food and clothes and shelter for those in need, you know, supporting and mentoring, encouraging vulnerable individuals and advocating for those facing systematic injustice. You know, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. You can't just say to a homeless people, kind word. You've got to do something. You've got to give them a place. You've got to give them food. You've got to give them what they need and an opportunity to rebuild their lives, which is what we're trying to do here, is that we're trying to give people an opportunity to rebuild their lives. And justice is about meeting needs with real solutions. So I've got one final challenge for you. We go back to that scripture in Amos 5:24. How are we going? Is this all right? Are we getting it? Are we receiving it? Justice, let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a falling. I can't see. Never failing. My glasses are all fogged up because I'm on fire. Sea change, a constant, unstoppable force of justice. So you get that. It just rolls like a river. It's just like a never-failing stream. Just keeps on going and it keeps on. It's a relentless motion that we keep doing because that's who we are. That's what we do. It's just unquestionable. And I just want to encourage you, there's moments in all of our lives where we come across injustice. And I want to say this is a place, this is a platform where you can administer your kingdom, God's kingdom with people no matter where you are. This is not just because as a church community and as Kingsway Care, we do housing and we do clothes and we do food, we do all that stuff. But you know what it is for me? So if I see it in a supermarket, I'm going to respond. If I see it in my street, I'm going to respond. If I see it in my workplace, I'm going to respond. If I see people that need something, I'm going to respond. It's a lifestyle. It's not a program or a ministry. It's a daily journey that we all go on. And it should overflow as a program because that's who we are. If it's not in us, it should not be among us. If we're just doing it as a program, then we shouldn't be doing it. We should be doing it because it's in us and because it's who we are. And that's what we do. So be encouraged. We're doing this. This is what we do. This is how we roll. But let's keep it going. Let's keep praying into it, believing God that, God, this is an important value as our church. Prayer, we've talked about story, but justice. We want to make sure that we continue our justice heart for those that are not necessarily like us and are not necessarily going through the challenges that I'm going through, but I am there for them. I am present with them. I want to be present with God and I want to be present with others, and that's how we live our Christian life. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would mobilize your church. Lord, so often our blinkers are on and we're not seeing through the eyes of Jesus And I pray that you would, I prophesy over our church today that we would have fresh eyes for the things that we need to see in this world. And that we would fight and that we would advocate and that we would support and care for the most vulnerable in our community, Jesus. You came to set the captive free, to bind up the broken heart and to release those who are oppressed. And you've given us that ministry, that privilege. And I pray that we would activate that in our hearts today. I pray and prophesy, Lord, that we will be an unstoppable force. And what we see now is nothing compared to what we'll see in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.